सङ्गेवयोऽयं प्रदात्तवृत्तिभिः
Translation for Dhammaraj advises citizens engaging your minds, your words, your bodies, and the results of your occupational duties and being always open-minded. You should all render devotional service to the Lord. According to your abilities and the occupations in which you are situated, you should engage your service at the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead with full confidence and without reservation. Then you will surely be successful in achieving the final objectives in your lives. Purport has stated in the 18th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Svakarmanantam Abhyakshat. One has to worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead by one's occupational duties. This necessitates accepting the principles of the four varnas and ashrams. Uddhava Maharaj therefore said, Gunai Svakarmati. This phrase is explained in Bhagavad Gita, Chatra Varnamas, from Gunakarma Vibhagasaha, forecasts. Are created by the Supreme Personality of Godhead according to the material modes of nature and the particular duties discharged in those modes. A person who is situated in the mode of goodness is certainly more intelligent than others. Therefore, he can practice the brahminical activities, namely speaking the truth, controlling the senses, controlling the mind, remaining always clean, practicing tolerance, having full knowledge about one's self-identity, and understanding devotional service. In this way, he engages himself in the loving service of the Lord as an actual Brahmana. His aim to achieve the final interest of life is attained. Similar kshatriya's duties are to give protection to the citizens, to all the possessions, charity is strictly Vedic in the management of state affairs, and to be unafraid to fight whenever there's an attack by enemies. In this way, a kshatriya can satisfy the Supreme Personality of God by his own traditional duties. Similarly, a Vaishya can satisfy the Supreme Godhead by properly executing his occupational duties, engaging himself in producing foodstuffs, giving protection to the cows, and trading if necessary when there is an excess of agricultural production. Similarly, because Sudras do not have ample intelligence, they should simply engage as workers to serve higher status in social life. Everyone's aim should be to satisfy the Supreme Personality of God by engaging his mind and thinking always of Krishna. His words are not always offering prayers to the Lord or preaching about the glories of the Lord and his body in execution. The service required to satisfy the Lord. As there are four divisions within our body, head, arms, belly, and legs, similarly human society taken as a whole is divided into four classes of men according to their material qualities and occupational duties. Thus the brahminical or intelligent men have to execute the duties of the head, the chakras must fulfill the duties of the arms, the vaishya class must fulfill the duty of the belly, and the sudras must fulfill the duty of the legs. In executing the prescribed duties of life, no one is higher or lower. There are such divisions of higher and lower, but since there is actually a common interest to satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead, there is no distinction between them. The question may be raised that since the Lord is supposed to be worshipped by great demigods like Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, and others, how can an ordinary human being on this planet serve him? This is clearly explained by Prithu Maharaj by the use of the word yata adhikara, according to one's ability. If one sincerely executes his occupational duty, that will be sufficient. One does not need to become like Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, Indra, Lord Chaitanya, or Ramanuja, Acharya, whose capabilities are certainly far above ours. Even a Sudra, who is in the lowest stage of life according to material qualities, can achieve the same success. Anyone can become successful in devotional service, provided he displays no duplicity. It is explained here that one must be very frank and open-minded. To be situated in a lower status of life is not a disqualification for success in devotional service. The only qualification is that whether one is a Brahmin, Kshatriya, Vaishya, or Sudra, he must be open, frank, and free from reservations. Then, by performing his particular occupational duty under the guidance of a proper spiritual master, he can achieve the highest success in life. As confirmed by the Lord himself, real Vaishnava Sadashiva does take the opportunity. It does not matter what one is, whether a Brahmin, Kshatriya, Vaishya, or Sudra, or an engaged woman. If one engages himself seriously in devotional service, working with body, mind, and intelligence, he is sure to be successful in going back home back to Godhead. The Lord's lotus feet are described here as Kama, Dugang, Yupam, Pajam, because they have all power to control the desires of everyone. A devotee is happy even in this life because although in material existence we may have many needs, all the material needs are satisfied, and when he allows Krishna's body, he goes back to God without a doubt. Translation, Maharaj, for good advice, he says, engaging your minds, your words, your bodies, and the results of your occupational duties, and being always open-minded, you should all render devotional service to the Lord. According to your abilities and occupationals in which you are situated, you should engage your service at the Lord's feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead with full confidence and without reservation. Then you will surely be successful in achieving the final objectives of your lives. So, here Prithu is instructing the citizens that one must worship the lotus feet of the Lord. And how to do that with one's occupation, with one's mind, with one's words, with one's body, and with one's activities. Of course, with the activities of the mind, words, and body, etc., and their qualities. And in this way, one gets success. In terms of vritti or occupation, that means occupations according to varnashram. There are certain occupations, and these occupations are regulated by scriptures. So one should engage in those activities. So this is what is called Varnashram. By doing so, one is following the order of the Lord, and that is pleasing to the Lord. Of course, not only one's occupation is included in this instruction, the occupational duties of the different varnas is not simply the work aspect of how one gets employment. It involves one's qualities, or how one approaches work, how one conducts one's life. So therefore, qualities like honesty and compassion are inculcated in these persons along with that. And not only one's work, but one's whole life is governed by the rules. So, for instance, the sudra has certain occupations which are only labor occupations, but that doesn't mean he just works and works and works and works and works. He also has a family, etc. So then there's rules. He doesn't get an education. He doesn't go to a gurukul, doesn't study the Vedas. He raises a family. So the rules for raising a family for him. So you can do samskars, but without the mantras of the Vedas. So there are rules governing different aspects of his life, including his religious aspect and social aspect. Similarly for the Vaishyas, Kshatriyas, and Brahmanas, not just occupation, but rules for the whole of their life. So all this is included in the Varnashram. And why it's divided up is because there are different rules for the different Varnas. So the social conduct will be different for the different Varnas. The rules will be different. The Brahmanas will have more rules to follow than anyone else. That is one thing. So along with the occupation and so many of the rules that go with that. Apart from this, and that is pleasing to the Lord if one follows the system, because in those rules there's also worship of devatas and pitras and the Supreme Lord, doing punyas, etc. So these are beneficial for the persons in general. And apart from that, then the instruction here is that one should dedicate everything to the Supreme Lord, including one's occupation. So not only we do the occupation, but that occupation should be worship of the Supreme Lord. So it should somehow be connected with the Lord. So this is a superior understanding. Of course, this is not the completion of bhakti, because we know that the angas of bhakti are things like hearing of the Lord, chanting the Lord's name, remembering the Lord, etc. So bhakti itself are other engagements which can be included here in mana vachakaya gunas karma bhi, doing activities with the mind, etc. For the Lord. So the direct activities are hearing about the Lord, serving the Lord directly through deity worship, rather than indirectly through occupation. Using one's mind to meditate on the Lord, serving the Lord directly in deity worship, etc. Using words, how do we use words? We describe the glories of the Lord or chant the Lord's name. So these are direct engagement of the senses and body and mind in service of the Lord. So they are called bhakti. So the two things can be done together. One can carry out one's varnashram activities, and also one can perform bhakti. So this is superior to simply doing varnashram, to do bhakti also. In other words, directly engage in hearing and chanting, glorifying the Lord, etc. So that combination is practical for the people, because the people need to sustain their lives, and many people have attachments. So therefore, Rita Maharaj recommends that they follow the Varnashram system. However, Varnashram in itself is not complete. Artha, Dharma, Kama, and Moksha are the general goals. So that doesn't say anything about Krishna. So therefore, above and beyond that, one has to
worship the Supreme Lord Krishna by body, mind, words, etc. So there's two elements here, the Varnashram and also the Bhakti. On the other hand, one can do Bhakti without the Varnashram also. So therefore it is said that even those who are Chandalas or Mlechas, etc., who were beyond the Varnashram, they can also do Bhakti. So in other words, Bhakti is not dependent upon Varna and Ashrama. It is independent. It can be done separately. At the same time, to help people maintain themselves, Prabhu recommends that they follow Varna Ashrama rules for occupation, etc. Along with that, they should not forget Bhakti. So, in this way they can succeed. If they only do Varna Ashrama, it is one step only. It is not the final success. Only one step. So, two recommendations are here. Engage in Varnashram and engage in Bhakti. And if there's a choice, then we do the Bhakti. If we have one or the other, then it is better to do Bhakti. For the Bhagavatam says that what is the use of following all of one's Dharma if one doesn't worship the Lord? And if one worships the Lord and rejects all Dharma, there's no loss. And even if one doesn't get perfection in that, still there's no loss. But if one perfectly performs Dharma, but doesn't worship the Lord, then it's all zero. So, the two things automatically will have to go together for success. And if not possible, at least one should perform the bhakti portion. So, why? Because worshipping the Lord includes everything. Kama, Duga, Angri, Pankajam, the lotus feet fulfill all desires. So everything is taken care of by the bhakti portion. One does that, whatever you get fulfilled by karma yoga is taken care of in bhakti itself. In this way, bhakti stands independent of everything else and does not depend on anything else for it to work. Whereas other processes are dependent processes. So in this way we can see the that Prithu is glorifying devotional service because it can fulfill everything by itself.
Because people have a different box of material nature.
Yeah.
And we also do your service, but ultimately they come in the box of transcendental goodness.
Yeah.
But then, devotional service is about up to the higher goodness also. People are still getting different box of material nature.
So actually, bhakti is not in the modes of nature. Bhakti is beyond the modes of nature. People are in the modes of nature. So that may look like it is affecting the bhakti. So it is like if you have glasses and they are tinted, then you look at something, it will be tinted also. Actually, the object is not tinted. You look at the sun with dark glasses, it will look green or whatever. Actually, it's not green, but because of our glasses, it will look green. So because we have different gunas in us, then our bhakti may look like that also. Again, it looks like it's mixed. And actually the bhakti itself is pure. But due to contamination in ourselves, the rajagun, sattvagun, tamagun, then the bhakti may be, we call it sattvagun bhakti, rajagun bhakti, or tamagun bhakti. But that's what mentioned by Kapila Deva in the third canto. But these types of bhakti are actually all rejected. Even the sattvagun bhakti is rejected. And the preference is pure bhakti. So this is the first definition given by Rupa Goswami in Nectar Devotion. It is by pure bhakti that we will get Krishna and not the other processes. So we have to do that. How do we practice pure bhakti for the modes of nature? Of course, even if we're practicing pure bhakti, it's not that it's absolutely pure because we are avanartas, definitely. But at least when we perform bhakti, we reject other motives, whereas in the bhakti covered by the gunas, we explicitly have so many motives involved in our bhakti. So when we practice pure bhakti, even though we're not pure because we're going through the process of anarjana vritti, still we with all effort reject all of the motives and try to practice purely. So that is to our credit. And our goal is to achieve that pure bhakti. Whereas the goal of people in the gunas, the sattva gun, tamo gun, and rajika bhakti, their goal is not to have pure bhakti. They just have this confused type of bhakti. Yeah.
No, the bhakti itself is more of goodness. Bhakti itself is more of goodness.
Well, no, bhakti is not in the gunas, it's beyond the gunas. Sattva gun binds you to the world. Bhakti does not bind you to the world. So it's beyond the gunas.
Yeah, they must come and leave to the mode of goodness, come to the pure goodness.
Well, if you do bhakti, we go beyond the gunas. So that's why anybody can practice bhakti, even the mlechas who are the worst tamagun. They can also practice bhakti. You don't have to be sattva gun to practice bhakti. Otherwise, why do we preach in the world? Nobody's sattva gun. So we tell people who are in tamagun to do bhakti also. So you don't have to be qualified by sattva gun to practice bhakti. When you practice bhakti, yes, we go through the gunas and we go beyond the gunas, transcend the gunas.
But say when we come from Mangala Arti, then you will be more of goodness. Like goodness only we can get down to tomorrow.
Well, I don't think that's material goodness. The whole process of bhakti is not to achieve goodness, it's to achieve Krishna, which is beyond the goodness. As Krishna says, one should go beyond the gunas, and the Vedas are in the gunas, so nistray gunyo kavarjuna, we should go beyond the gunas. So our goal is not to come cut the sattva gun. Our goal is to go beyond that. Beyond the gunas, no gunas. We can say pseudo sattva, pure goodness, which is not the same as the sattva.
You mentioned that Chandras also can have bhakti.
Well, Chandalas can do bhakti, and through that process, they give up all attachments to everything, so therefore they won't engage in all these sinful activities. It purifies them. As in the case of Murgari the hunter, he was killing all the animals, but he took to bhakti and then he stopped killing the animals.
Another point is that you said that occupation duty, so occupation, and also supreme occupation. Can you explain that occupation and supreme occupation?
Supreme occupation is bhakti.
What is that?
Paradharma.
What is that? Utpat.
Oh, that is utpat means that if we don't follow scriptures, then we have obstacles. So we have no authority for how we follow devotional service. We can invent our own means, and of course, then it will not be perfect. So we have to follow the proper scriptures.
Those who are not free from the karma of good and pious, they will continue life after life,
even in the material world. Yeah, if we're in mode of goodness, we have to take birth in the material world. See, if you go to Brahmaloka and you're in sattva gun, you have to come back again in the material world. Svargaloka, except you have to come back. So mode of goodness is also binding, creates karma.
It said that any action has a reaction, and as it's the soul when it is acting, it always expects for some benefit or result of that action. So how can we say that one can act without any motives?
Oh, because we act for Krishna's pleasure, then there's no motives. If it's for Krishna and not for ourselves, then it's not binding.
Maharaj, Prithu is preaching, this is pure bhakti.
Huh? Well, he here is mixed because he's down there to Varnashram and Bhakti. So it's a mixture.
So Maharaj, his preaching strategy and this one is preaching pure Bhakti to everyone.
This is for the general society.
But Maharaj, we are also preaching per se to everyone.
Yeah, then in Kali Yuga, the recommendation is just do bhakti. Because there's no varnashram anyway that they can rely on. There's no king. How can they do it?
But Maharaj, I think in 3rd or 4th chapter, 1, 2 places, Krishna says that those who are wise, they do not disturb the less intelligent in their performance of duty.
Yeah, that's so. Generally, that's so. But in terms of bhakti, it's not so. That's why Prahlad taught all the demon children. He just worshipped Vishnu.
I'm still not clear, Maharaj. Practically, when preaching is happening, what should be preached? Pure devotional service?
Well, it depends on the person also, because you cannot preach to the faithless. So you can only engage them without preaching those persons. If they have some faith, then we don't want to talk to them to mix bhakti. We want to do pure bhakti.
Saturday. Oh my God. Saturday, Saturday anywhere in India.
Konuburi, no, nothing
occupational engagement in bhakti, indirect occupational engagement.